A Kings Island Gold Pass is your ticket to unlimited visits this year and all through 2025. Make the park your own with access to 2 years of tricks and treats, Halloween Haunt, and Winterfest, plus an expanded Soak City featuring the all-new dual racing water coaster River Racers coming in 2025. All for our lowest price of the season. Just 10 payments of $9 after initial payment plus applicable taxes and fees. Hurry, price goes up September 3rd. Get your Gold Pass at visitkingsisland.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently with offline maps and on-trail navigation. Download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Chris Harrington on 92.9's Jeff Calkins Show.
It's been a long Chris Harrington joins me now. Chris, what are we listening to?
That is Wait by the Beatles from their classic transitional 1965 album Rubber Soul. As people wait for some Grizzlies transactions, the ever-hungry NBA diehards who want transactions all the time, give me transactions. I don't think you're going to get a lot of that from the Grizzlies left, but there will be something.
We'll get to that in a moment. Chris, can you help me break down exactly where U.S. soccer went wrong last night?
I had no idea. I know there was something going on. I saw some people tweeting about it.
Yeah, they did.
Other than that, I
we
got
lost.
No idea.
And Jeffrey, did you see they put out a statement? U.S. soccer put out a statement saying that they're disappointed with the results of last night, and they're going to have a thoroughgoing.
Oh, of course.
Examination and scrutiny of what to do next. So there you go. All right, we're waiting for Luke Kennard and the Grizzlies to reach their deal. You tweeted earlier, speaking of tweeting, while the waiting game continues for Kennard, Buddy Hield, Gary Trent Jr., and Malik Beasley all still out there, the market for single position two-guard shooting specialist doesn't seem to be robust. This might suggest a Kennard deal lower than earlier expectation. Lower than earlier expectation. Yeah.
So there you go. You get the Lonnie Walker, another similar player out there, too. A lot of those guys on the free agent market still.
So what do you think's happening?
Well, I think that they have a deal mostly in place. Choose your metaphor at the 5-yard line or whatever. Right. Why they haven't punched the ball through yet,
metaphors.
There we
this
go.
Is great.
I don't know. I could theorize different possible explanations for that. Maybe part of that is there's another move they're trying to make that would shed salary, and the degree of salary they shed might impact the number they bring Kennard in at. That is certainly possible. It could be that, you know, some people have wondered, is Kennard still holding out, looking around for a better offer? I don't sense that's the case, but I don't know for a fact that it's not. I don't know. There's no deadline on this, by the way. Right. They're not playing basketball again until October. Right. And so even though there's a rush to want things to happen, there's actually not that much of a rush internally for things to happen. Remember when Marc Gasol was eligible for his max contract and he went like 3-4 days without signing it and everyone panicked?
Right.
And it was like, I was on a boat, like whatever, like, you know. And so sometimes when both sides sort of know where things are headed, there's not a rush to get there. And so, I don't know.
I think you're right. People are hungry for transactions.
Yep.
But B, among the fan base, there's this nervousness that until it's done, it's not done. And someone could come swooping in. And
People like don't want them to go sign one of these other guys I just talked about who are out there, you know?
Right.
Like, maybe Gary Trent Jr. is better. Maybe whoever's better. I guess to that, I would say there's also a non-fantasy basketball element to this, too.
Right.
Which is Luke Kennard's a member of the Memphis Grizzlies, has been for the last year and a half. They know him. He knows them. The teammates like him. He wants to be here, as far as I know. He wants to be here, which counts for something. They went out and got him. You know, it's you know, it's not as simple as looking around and, you know, and saying, well, this guy may be marginally better.
The role that he's having, you've pointed out, the put aside Zaire and the wings who are going to be down the...
Right.
They're going to have to figure out Marcus Smart, Vince Williams, Luke Kennard, Desmond Bane.
Yeah.
Who am I missing? And Gigi.
Yep.
Right? So... how do you imagine that'll go? Like, what do you think Luke Kennard's role is next year?
Well, assuming if Taylor Jenkins plays a 10-man rotation in the regular season, as he has done, I don't know if he'll keep doing that forever, but that has been his tendency. If he does that, like, all five of those guys are in the 10-man rotation. And so, you know, there are spaces for them. It requires you not playing with a true backup point guard.
And who soaks up most ball-handling minutes when Ja's off the floor?
I mean, I feel like it's Desmond Bane, effectively. I feel like you orient your rotation, and when Ja's off the floor, Bane is sort of leading the unit as an effective lead ball handler. I think that's really what
not Marcus Smart.
Well, I mean, you put whatever label on it you want. They're out there playing together, and they both have the ball and whatever. But and so I think that's really what you do instead of, like, you know, we'll see what Scottie Pippen Jr. does. And if he really pops, maybe that influences things. But the other reality is we always talk about this as if everyone's available. And out of 82 games, the number of games in which everyone's available is going to be very, very small.
Right.
And so, you know, I think you want players who can play beyond just, you know, your core eight or nine or whatever.
It's funny. You said single position, two guard shooting specialists.
Yeah, very
specific.
Isn't
that Clay at this point?
Yes.
But Clay, what did you just get?
Clay's a little bit bigger and is like going to the Hall of Fame. And so there's that.
Right. This version is not this version that's getting
into the
Hall
of Fame. Yeah, but still, that still influences your market. You know, he is still a guy who has, like, made clutch shots to win NBA titles.
That's the thing. It's not just that he is, I mean, in terms of, you know, why is Luke going to get what he's going to get?
Dallas can look at him and say, if we get into the heat of a playoff series, this is a guy who's been there before and made shots in this environment.
In that moment, Luke never has.
That's right.
And so all the...
And even a diminished Clay is a better defensive player than Luke Kennard.
Exactly. Does he, by the way, move the needle much for Dallas for you?
Maybe. It's the kind of thing where, even though it's a smaller deal, the third year of that, I don't know if you're going to be loving it. There's the question of offensively it helps them because of his shooting. Defensively, he's like a decent defender, but the way their team is set up with Kyrie Irving and Luka Doncic, you really want the third, sort of like the Grizzlies, you sort of really want the third perimeter player to be the best defender and to be a guy who's going to just guard the other team's best player, period, the way Derrick Jones Jr. did, or best perimeter player. I don't think Clay's set up to do that. And so if you're playing Luka, Kyrie and Clay as your perimeter trio,
Celtics going to have a high old time.
Who's guarding? Who's guarding the dude on the other side? Right. You know, who's guarding Ja? Seriously, who's guarding Ja? You know, in that situation, who's guarding Shai Gilgeous-Alexander? Who's guarding whoever? So you know, you wonder how much they're going to break it up over the course of a game. You wonder about finishing lineups. I think in terms of total talent, Dallas got better, but in terms of specific role, they lost Derrick Jones Jr., who played that defensive role. Right. I don't think they added anyone who will be as good as that in that defensive role.
In terms of consensus projections next year, these teams that will be ranked ahead of the Grizzlies, Oklahoma City.
We're talking about the West.
The West. Oklahoma City. Denver.
Oklahoma City, draw a line. Right. Now you're dropping down.
Okay, right. Then Denver. Along with...
I don't know if Denver's next, but they probably are in the next
Denver
year.
Denver will be ahead of Denver. Dallas. Yeah. Denver.
Yep.
Dallas.
Minnesota.
Minnesota.
Now draw a line.
Draw a line there. So that's four.
Yeah.
And then what?
Then maybe Memphis. It depends. I mean, depends on who's doing this ranking. Some people are more swayed by the idea of stuff.
Right.
So I think... Like, I saw something yesterday that had, like, some, like, I don't know, whether it's Vegas or whatever, the gambling stuff, that had, like, the projections for the teams. And the teams, shockingly, the teams that were over-projected to me were the Lakers, the Suns, the Warriors, and still the Clippers, maybe. And the teams that were under-projected were the Grizzlies and the Kings and the Pelicans and maybe the Rockets, right? That's just the way it is.
It's funny. Is that eight? So we got to the first – we said the first four,
right?
The first four. And then you have a –
Then I named eight. Then you 12. Then you got three teams that probably are not serious. Although the Spurs,
so there's eight teams who are serious vying for, and maybe the Spurs, right?
Maybe the Spurs. Wimby may just change everything.
Right.
The Spurs don't seem like they're a serious contender for postseason, but who knows, right? So, yeah, a lot of teams
acting like they are, honestly.
No, they're not.
Yeah.
And I don't think organizationally they think that way. But Wimby's going to go out and do a basketball floor.
Right, exactly.
And the reality might change. He may warp the space-time continuum and suddenly they're a top six team. So I think, you know, Utah, who may be about to trade Lauri Markkanen, Utah, Portland, San Antonio, you set them aside at the bottom. And then you got four teams at the top who seem very solid.
Yeah.
If they're not going to be top six, they'll certainly be in the postseason,
right?
Barring a total Grizzly style implosion.
Right. Yes, right.
And then you got all these other teams competing, but I think the Grizzlies are, if not at the top of that next list, they're near the top. I think pretty clearly to me.
And you don't rule out the possibility they could overtake some of the ones ahead of them.
No, this is why we play basketball.
That's why we play basketball.
You know, you don't determine the playoffs by preseason projections. You determine by playing 82 games.
All right. Why do you think, by the way, all these players are hanging out there? Gary Trent Jr., Malik Beasley, Buddy Hield.
Well, I mean, even though free agency is only like a day and a half old, you know, there's lots of stuff out there. I mean, you know, DeMar DeRozan's out there. Miles Bridges, for what it's worth, is out there. Better player, but, you know, hasn't seen the other issues. Tyus Jones, our buddy Tyus Jones, hasn't signed. There's still lots of players
out there.
Tyus Jones
feels like he's going back to Washington.
I don't know where else he would go. So, yeah, I think so. But it has not happened yet, you know. And then there's all kinds of trade stuff that's still lingering out there. I mean, Donovan Mitchell just signed his extension today, and so are they going to trade Darius Garland, which had been rumored? Are they going to do anything with Jared Allen?
Where's Markkanen going?
The rumors are Golden State and Sacramento, and I feel like there's another team I'm forgetting that's been mentioned. Yeah.
De'Anthony Melton goes to Golden State.
Goes to Golden State, 1-year deal, sounds like a, you know, be healthy and then get back on the market kind of thing.
Right.
He had the back injury last year. If he did not have the injury concerns, I think
Kyle still out there?
Kyle's still out there. Would I endorse the Grizzlies signing Kyle Anderson? Yes, I'm in the back for Kyle Anderson, but B, you look at what I put in the other day, like the two biggest questions are ball handling depth, And front court functionality.
Right, yeah, that's what
Kyle Anderson is the one player who can address both of those needs.
So how are you bringing him onto the team? What do you?
I mean, you're signing him to a 2-year, $10 million deal or something like that, and then you look up and like, wow, that was a bargain. This guy's great to have.
So
that will happen with someone in the NBA, by the way.
So
they will get a bargain signing of Kyle Anderson.
So presuming they'll get bring Luke back. And you wrote about today, piece up at the Daily Memphian, many of the things we talked about yesterday, speculating whether they might leave the other spot open, whether they might create a spot.
I think that's possible. I have no sense that they have decided to do that at all. But I would suspect it's such an obvious thing to potentially do that I am certain it's been discussed.
The methods, though, to disgorge one of the wings down at the bottom, you can either attach presumably value to them to send them away.
Yes.
Or you can stretch, you can buy them out essentially, right?
Yes. And if you buy them out or waive them or however, whatever terminology, that can go one or two ways. Either you eat all the money now or you use what the NBA is called the stretch provision, which they're not going to do with John Conchar because it's too much. But with Zaire Williams,
how would it work with Zaire?
So the way the stretch provision works is it's times two plus one? I think it's times two plus one.
This is not my department.
Yeah, and so the number of years left on a contract, you take the number of years, then it's times two plus one. That's how long you can stretch it. So Zaire Williams is 1 year left. So times two plus one, that's 3-year stretch.
Okay.
So whereas with Luke Kennard, it's a 7-year stretch.
Right.
He's got 3 years left on the contract. That's too much. And by the way, all this stuff we've been talking about the tight finances and the luxury, all this, you know what's part of that calculation? $2 million for Kennedy Chandler right now is part of that calculation. And so this is the danger of, like, you know, having to eat money. But if you wanted to stretch Zaire, I'm not saying they do, but if you wanted to stretch Zaire, it's $6 million contract. You could stretch it over 3 years. And so it would be $2 million on your books this year, $2 million next year, $2 million the year after that. So you would shave $4 million, which if that $4 million makes the difference between being under the tax or over the tax, being under the first apron, over the first apron, that kind of thing, and you think he's going to be your 14th man on the, you know, maybe you consider doing that.
I was listening to some discussion yesterday on this station. Someone from out of market said, "I didn't." From Yahoo, it was Jason Fitz said, "I don't hate the ED pick, But the mistake would be expecting too much too soon, whatever, and two or three. And I'm like, no, that's completely wrong. Like, in the end, I'm not saying he's going to be the best version of himself this year, but one of the advantages of getting Zach Edey is you presume he will be an effective. But it is an interesting
question.
He's not
a multi-year project. You're right. He's not a finished product. You expect he will get better over time.
Right.
But if he's not ready to be in a rotation this season, it's a bad pick. Period.
Right. Period. It's a bad. Yeah. And it feels like I don't know. It feels like Derek Lively stepped in last year, and he didn't have the resume, the tenure. He had been a 4-year college player.
Right.
It's too much to ask Zach Edey to be an effective rotation player?
No, I don't think it's too much to ask at all. I think that is exactly what they are asking.
Right.
That is exactly what they are expecting.
It's all they've done, though. Like, it's the answer, right? Like, it's...
Yeah, I mean, again, you can play. They need another front court player, I think, but you do have four of them, and you can play, you know, you can play Jaron and Brandon. You can play, you know, you don't need Zach Edey. If everyone's healthy, which everyone won't be, you know, Zach Edey doesn't have to be playing 30 minutes and closing every game and whatever. He could be fourth in your pecking order of bigs. I don't think he will be, but he could be.
Is there Santi's role going forward?
Yeah, it's interesting.
With Brandon there and with Gigi getting power 4 minutes,
right.
4 minutes at the four, I presume.
Well, and he's also eligible for a contract extension, which I don't expect him to get, but he is eligible for one this fall.
So what do you expect his role will be?
I think if the Grizzlies had already determined he's not a part of the future, they should be trading him. I don't sense that determination has been made. I think it's a little up in the air. I think the most likely scenario is that he does not get an extension. He's on the team under contract this year with the possibility of being a restricted free agent next summer. And it's sort of the prove it season for him. I suspect, and they're past the point where their focus is on sorting out the roster. It's time to win.
Right.
But in the context of that, I do think there's some sorting that takes place over the course of this season with Santi Aldama, Gigi Jackson, and Jake LaRavia. I think all three of those players may be on the team this season. They're not all three going to be on the team the year after.
With Gigi, I mean, you talked about yesterday. They have two high, what I don't know what you called it.
Higher upside.
Two high players. Upside guys.
Yeah.
It's an interesting question with Gigi and Edey, because in a way, they're counting on Edey more than they are on Gigi.
Yeah, Edey, I think, is going to be starting opening night unless he really struggles
Gigi's
out of the gate.
Gigi's an upside play, but if he flames...
They'll bring Gigi along slowly unless he accelerates it himself, which he might.
Right. Yeah. All right. The other news, by the way, is a different kind of transaction, is the Celtics are for sale.
Are you going back to Boston? is this your post-radio plan?
This seems like a pretty shrewd investment that they made. They bought the Celtics for this group for $360 million dollars and in 2002, I think it was. And now Forbes says... valued at 4.7, although the expectation in news reports was that they'll get north of 5.
Right.
Forbes, according to Forbes, the value franchise rankings and value: Warriors at 7.7, Knicks at 6.6, Lakers at 6.4, Celts at 4.7, and then the Clippers, because of market, honestly, 4.65.
Yep. Well, I think with the Clippers and with the Warriors, the arena is part of the... they own their arenas outright. You know?
And we just saw Cuban sold, you know, whatever. We just saw the Mavs being sold. It does, like, in the end, it does sort of, like, the Grizzlies aren't worth this much money.
Right.
But the Grizzlies were, the similar sort of inflation, appreciation has taken place.
Right.
And in the end, this team, they say the team is being sold because of estate planning reasons, right, whatever else. Like, and... it's not a good thing for Memphis that franchises have become this valuable, right?
I agree. I mean, it's sort of like, let's get, you know, if you want the team in Memphis, let's get this lease done, and then it's less of a thing. But
right.
you wonder about the long term, if the team ever, if the
Robert
team, if
Perrin
and when,
decided
at
to
some
sell.
Point, at some point,
15,
all teams will sell,
years.
Sell
yeah,
eventually,
right. Yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly. He's not going to live forever, Robert.
Yeah,
Perrin.
And so who is spending the market value for the team with the idea of keeping it in Memphis? That's
a very real thing. That's a long-term concern. Because, I mean, again, Robert Pera, he could invent a longevity drug, I suppose. But in the end,
He is one of the youngest.
He's a young guy, and so he could be 50 years of it. Yeah, I suppose. Yeah. But it is a peril. It's not. This is. Not, it's not a good thing.
I do wonder if franchises are now in a bubble.
Say that again. What?
I do wonder if franchise values are a bubble.
I wonder about
the tax coming in and everything else.
Well, there's all this. I mean, the tax just came in lower than they thought.
Correct.
And then the local TV stuff. I think there's some real concern about what's going on with that. And I wonder if these things are interrelated. I wonder if ticket pricing is sort of a bubble. And at some point, I mean, the TV money is one thing, but at some point, like, the money keeps getting bigger and bigger for the franchises sell for more, the player payrolls go up. At some point, are you paying, like, whatever to sit in the upper bowl of an arena, you know?
Correct.
What's your theory about why
it's a bubble? So my theory would be, as the... It became vogue in the last 15 years for billionaires to own sports franchises for a lot of tax reasons, more than just the pure, like, if I were a billionaire, the only thing I'd want to do is own a sports team. That's all I care about. Like, that's but a lot of billionaires do not think that way. And so it became like an asset for them financially, but you've jacked the price up of franchises so much, you've created this universe where potential seller or potential buyers are becoming fewer and fewer and fewer. And so, and it's one thing to sit
if
there
you're
and go,
paying $5 billion, is it still a good investment?
Correct.
You got a lot of your money suddenly tied up in this in this hobby.
Exactly.
Now. And the hobby has been appreciating.
Correct.
But presumably it's not going to continue to appreciate this level.
And you've also gotten to the point where it's like, how many of these people can buy it? Like, to me, it's, I mean, I get why Jared Harris went and bought the Washington football team, but it's like, he owns three sports franchises, like, and you gotta write a check at some point. Right. Like,
anyway, yeah. All right, Chris, thanks very much. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
We will talk to you.
A Kings Island Gold Pass is your ticket to unlimited visits this year and all through 2025. Make the park your own with access to 2 years of tricks and treats, Halloween Haunt, and Winterfest, plus an expanded Soak City featuring the all-new dual racing water coaster River Racers coming in 2025. All for our lowest price of the season. Just 10 payments of $9 after initial payment plus applicable taxes and fees. Hurry, price goes up September 3rd. Get your Gold Pass at visitkingsisland.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.